me, I'm actually living a little bit of every principal investigator's nightmare, and the fact that I had a student that I brought on, and he spent about a year with us and then decided to drop out. So I'm pinch hitting for my former student, Chris. He began doing some work with Facefly in South Central Washington State. Basically, one of the things that he wanted to look at was the geospatial dynamics of the population. Facefly is important, obviously, for those of you that are involved in veterinary medicine. Know that it is the primary vector for pink eye. It is a relatively serious disease in our area and can basically result in an economic loss to our cattle producers, particularly when they send their animals off for auction. And again, the main vector is the face fly. And, you know, basically it's been difficult or cost prohibitive to see how the face fly population moves throughout pastures and throughout the animal population. And so we attempted to try to address some of this, or at least do some preliminary work. Again, most of the work that's been done in the past has been done with fluorescent dyes, basically having to go back and look at the population and monitor flies with blacklight type traps. And really, that's been made it relatively difficult to discern how, you know, the populations of face flies relate to actually the incidence of disease with the animal population. And so basically, you know, I think there's been some improvements in the mark and release techniques that have been improved primarily in the tree, fruit, and cotton system. So again, you know, historically with face fly and fly populations, it's just been cost prohibitive. We fortunately have a group in Washington State that's led by Dr. Vince Jones in Wenatchee. He's published a paper on it here, as you see, in 2006 that I think for those of you that might be interested in this technique, it provides substantial detail on how the process works. Similarly, James Hagler in cotton in the Arizona area has also done quite a bit of work with these immunoassay markers. And so basically what they do is they've come up with these relatively cheap protein sources. It can be egg white, it can be soy proteins, things like that. You can mark the population and then through ELISA, monitor the, after you've released the organism, monitor the organism with a very simple, cheap, and effective, and very, very sensitive ELISA technique, and you can measure the movement of your organism that you're trying to monitor. So in working with Facefly, we maintained a fairly substantial colony following just some simple protocols. And when we collected our pupa into the sand here, as shown, basically as the adults emerged, they walked across this mesh material that contained a soy protein. And this was basically our first simple technique to see whether or not we could get the flies to pick up the protein off of this simple mesh. We basically removed the flies with toothpicks, put them into a buffered solution, and then shipped them off to Vince Jones' lab in Wenatchee. So, basically out of the 44 flies that we collected out of this technique, all but one fly didn't, or pardon me, out of the 42 flies that we collected, 41 of them did test positive for the presence of the soy protein. So we knew at that point that the flies could pick up the protein, and then we tried to extrapolate this and complete some field studies as well. So subsequently, in late August, early September, we chose three field sites in the Prosser, Washington area, and we basically came up with a Y configuration where we arranged six traps, three traps at 5 meters, three traps at 20 meters respectively. And from the colony, we collected about 35 grams of pupae. This, when we counted them out, this added up to about 1,500 per field site. We then dusted them with 125 grams of soy powder. The bad news is that by the time we finally got out to the field, it was getting close to mid-September, and the weather had actually turned cold. We actually did have a relatively light frost event, And then we did have a rain event, so we were kind of hampered by weather, and I do think that that has impacted our data. We collected our traps about 1 week after the release of the flies. And when we actually looked at our fly population that we maintained in the colony, we had very, very low mortality, so our flies were very viable. I do think that the weather impacted the survival out in the field, particularly with this light frost event that we had. I think we got down to, slightly, probably about 29, 30 degrees Fahrenheit, at least one of the nights that we had the population out there. So again, this is just a simple schematic or picture of our design here. We basically released our flies in the center of these three close-up traps, and then had our traps similarly 20 meters away, and this is 20 meters away here. Each of these three traps would have been five meters away from where we released the flies. As you can see here, we released the flies in roughly a half square meter grid, and then sprinkled the soy protein right over those flies. So, in results, basically, we didn't have a whole lot of recapture of flies. The thing that is nice to know is that 16 of the 44 flies that we did recapture on these traps did test positive for the soy protein. So again, I think the conclusion we can have here is that even under the fairly adverse conditions that we were presented with, we proved that this mark and wrap recapture technique is robust, and I do think we can improve on it in the future here. So when it comes to what we plan to do in 2008, we just plan on testing wild natural populations in the field. I do think at this point, at least we've made inroads that we do have a way that we can actually monitor these populations in the field. There's certainly room for improvement, but I think this is a nice technique that will help us aid us in the study of the movement of these face fly populations and other fly populations in the pasture environment. And I went fast.
You did. Thank you. Question. Nancy?
What's the chance that some of those flies that you captured in the field were wild flies?
Probably a very good chance.
Really?
Yeah. In the fact that at least at two of our sites, we were fairly close to pastures where cattle were in the pastures. One of our sites that we tried to use was just strictly a newly planted alfalfa field, probably about 2.5 miles away from the closest livestock. Question? Well, you've read my mind. So that's exactly where we were headed with this, and we do plan on expanding on that this coming season.
Next year, you know.
Yeah, I hope to.
Big comment. Face flies don't incubate enough and wander away to incubating as well.
Yeah,
we're
quite aware of that. We plan. One of the things that we've talked about doing is we actually do have an ATV sprayer. And we were considering basically just treating entire pastures with the protein.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, we put out pupa and we basically waited a week. And so our emergence within the laboratory under controlled conditions and obviously warmer than it was out in the field, we had almost complete emergence within about 3 days. Right.
And then one last question about any estimated cost of the assay?
The assay is relatively inexpensive. I think I would need to talk to Vince Jones about that, but it's simply an ELISA technique. And he generates literally thousands of samples in his tree fruit work and does that at a relatively moderate cost. So I think from a cost standpoint, it is a very, very friendly technique.
Vicki?
Yeah,
You know, I'll confess that's a little out of my league. The point we chose Eliza strictly because the tree fruit group really had done a good job of monitoring parasitoid populations in the tree fruit system. They were geared up to do it. And when we're looking for collaborators, that was just a very easy group for us to work with.
Well,
is there a optimal height for positioning the trap?
I don't know. The question was, do I know how to place these traps? We worked on that a bit this summer. We did have fairly good trap catches with those traps. Sometimes. Sometimes when you're doing field work, I was just basically trying to do it right where the cow's head would be. So, I mean, I was just pure nuts and bolts, grease ball, field science.
Let me ask one here. Your analytical test involves crushing the fly or just a superficial?
It just is a superficial dip in the buffer solution prior to submission to the laboratory.
And I ask that question because I would be interested in longevity of the mark, number one, and number two, if you put powders on sister species, housefly and stablefly, they'll clean off all the dust they can reach.
Yeah, I'm well aware of that.
But talking to
Dr. Jones and Wenatchee, this ELISA technique is extremely sensitive. And it also depends on which marker you choose to use. There are differences among the markers. They can just use simple flour. They can use egg-based proteins. They can use soy-based proteins. We use soy-based proteins because Vince gave me a 40-pound sack of soy powder.
Anybody else? Thank you very much.
Thank you.